What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, oh precious, and oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing, this is all my hope and peace. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, oh precious, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, we sing it out. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, oh precious, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What's cool about that is when we sing that, we're reminded of what he's done for us. We're reminded of the sacrifice that he paid for us. And I love that this next song is just a response to that. A response to his love for us. We just sing back to him, we just sing.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful, and your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Oh, we sing that again. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are all
on, one more time, church, you sing it out.
Oh Lord, your face, your face, and your grace abounds to me, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated.
We're doing some Bible stories, obviously, and today we're going to look at Genesis 24, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's about Abraham's servant, Abraham's oldest servant. His name is Eliezer. We don't know much about this guy, but what we do know about him, we really need to pay attention to. All of our lives will be greatly benefited if we learn to live faith like Abraham's servant. Genesis chapter 24. So, if your life is complicated, back up and review because you're missing something. If your life is very complicated. Now, don't confuse that with hard. You can be in the middle of God's will, living by faith, and your life is very hard. Paul said that all the trials and tribulations that he went through were to help him to learn to rely upon the Lord with everything. And God wants us to rely upon the Lord with everything. So if your life is really hard, that's different from being complex. So, if your life is very complicated, if it just is difficult for many pieces to be put together, if you feel like you're always kicking doors down, if you can look back at your life and you can see that you're always having to figure things out, you may have missed something along the way. As we talked about last week, most of our decisions have already been made. Most of our decisions have been made for us. We know that we're to follow Jesus. We know that we're to live by faith. We know that we are to love God and love others. And if you think about it, if we are going to love God and love others, most of our decisions are made for us. If we're loving God and loving others, things fall into place. Life is more simple. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, who are heavy burdened. Take my yoke upon you. It is easy and light." The people were so burdened down by their religion. Life for them was very, very complicated. And Jesus was saying to them, "It doesn't have to be this way. I have a better way. God has a better way. You've really complicated what it means to follow God and to believe in God and trust in God. Just take my yoke upon you. It's easy and light." Jesus, the word tells us that the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. And so they are to benefit. And so if life for you is very complicated, take a look back, step back, and have a look at it. If you're in a relationship, if you're going to be in a relationship one day, younger folks, and it feels like, it seems like, you look at that relationship, if it looks like you're really having to make things work out, back out of that thing. Back on out. If he or she is very difficult to connect with, if it seems like you're kicking doors down, if it seems like you're really trying to force that relationship, back on out a little bit. See what the Lord's at work in. See what you're missing. See what you don't understand. Because relationships should be uncomplicated. They should naturally fall into place. It should be as if the doors are opened. And so if the doors are closed, recognize they're closed. It is not up to us to kick the doors down to make things happen. And we learn that lesson here from Abraham's servant. Verse 1. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Now, being an old man, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about the promise. He's thinking about the promise. He knows that he's to be the father of a great nation. Now, he finds himself getting older. Time is moving on, and Isaac doesn't have a wife yet. It's important that Isaac has a family, because to be the father of a great nation, for God's promise to be fulfilled in him, that's got to take place. So, Abraham is very old now, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" "No," Abraham responded. "Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there." So the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instructions. Now, Abraham has some instructions. The master has some instructions. There are some things that are clearly defined for Abraham's servant. Now, he's not to allow Isaac to marry a local girl. No Canaanite. That's one of the instructions. He was never, ever to take Isaac back to the homeland. That was not to be done. Now, you can think about all the reasons why that's so, but it's a guideline. He doesn't want Isaac back in the homeland. He doesn't want to go backwards and go against the promise, I suppose. Now, one of the best things about Abraham's instructions to the servant is this: if the trip is unproductive, the burden is not on the servant. Now, it's important for us to understand that in the kingdom of God, in the life of faith, the truth is that for every single one of us, I believe, depends on your makeup and how you go through life and how you reason things and how you see faith. But you can't just be broad brushed here and say this is everyone, but I think you can in this regard, just knowing me and knowing people, right? We are responsible for far less than we often realize. We take on far more responsibility than we should in life. What is the servant responsible for? Doing what the master said. That's it. Now, applying it to the Christian life, We're not responsible to make everyone happy. If you're a people pleaser, life is always really complicated. If you're always trying to get someone's approval, life is very complicated. If you just are longing to hear someone say those magic words for you, life is complicated. If your happiness depends on someone else, life is very complicated for you. There's a lot of hills to climb. There's a lot of complications out there. There's a lot of things that have got to fall into place. That's why, young people, it's so important that in relationships, you don't try to force anything, don't try to make anything happen. Just go along and see what the Lord places in your life. It's just like in doing mission work around the world, which we do. The Holy Spirit has got to place it in our life. We can't make things happen. It's dangerous to go to some of the places we go to and make things happen. I mean, we've sat around in meetings as church people in America for a long time trying to figure out where we should go and do the Lord's work instead of doing what we've been able to do the last several years is wait for the Lord to bring it to us. I mean, there's needs everywhere. There's countries everywhere that need the ministry of the Lord, right? There's all kinds of places. It's a mistake for us to run ahead of God. Abraham is in a position not to run ahead of his master. He's just going to do what his master said to do. And he's going to recognize what he's responsible for. He's responsible for going. He's responsible not to take Isaac with him and to never take Isaac. He's got that going for him. And so if he goes to the land of Abraham and he does not find a wife for Isaac, he can go back home and he is free of that responsibility. He is free of the burden. And so you see for Abraham, as we see Abraham's servant, the going is without burden and the return is without burden. Now, if he gets to the land of Abraham and the Lord does not place in his life Isaac's wife, he returns back to Beersheba. He returns back to the land of Abraham. And he goes back. And Isaac says, "Don't you think I ought to go?" He goes, "No. I ain't taking you over there. I don't have that responsibility. I have fulfilled my responsibility." How freeing. How liberating. How fun. How joyful it is when we realize that we're not as responsible for as much as we previously thought we were. We're not responsible to change anyone. We're not responsible to make someone believe in God. We're not responsible for kids to turn out a certain way. We're responsible to do what we know to do. We love, we guide, we advise, we nurture, we demonstrate, we disciple, we do the things we know to do. We do the things that's under our responsibility, and we clearly recognize what's not our responsibility. And you're able to go, "Yep, you got a problem, all right, but it ain't mine." "Yep, you sure do. You got a real complicated matter going on. I'll pray for you. Hope it works out well. But hey, I'm doing my responsibility. You need to figure yours out." But always keep in mind, learn from Abraham's servant. We are responsible for far less than we often realize. Verse 10. Look and see, after the assignment is given, what he does. Verse 10. "Then he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master, and he traveled to distant Aram Naharam. Naharam. Ram. However you'd say that. Aram. He went to Abilene. There he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled." Now, I checked it out. The land, the Ur of the Chaldees, is probably around Kuwait City in there somewhere. It is 1,006 miles from Jerusalem to Kuwait City. That's where he went. 1,006 miles. One verse. One verse. It doesn't tell us anything about Abraham's servant's journey. We know he's got lots of stuff with him. There's lots of pirates out there in that desert. Lots of pirates. Lots of people that look just like Alan. He's walking down. Alan? Algerian, Saudi Arabian right there. Sorry. Do not leave because you get my attention on you, right? I'm sure they had to endure some of that going on. You got 10 camels to travel with. You got all that weight with you. You've got lots of money with you. And all we know about the man's travel is he's got expensive gifts and he traveled 1,006 miles by camel. Now, San Diego from my house is 1,350 miles. No, Oceanside, California. Camp Pendleton is 1,350 miles from my house. Can you imagine? So 350 miles back this way is probably, what's it? Is it between Tucson and Yuma in there somewhere? Can you imagine? 10 camels, few servants with you, traveling all that way. And he had a good time? Yeah, there's nothing to mention about that. He just went and did his master's bidding. 1,006 miles, and there's not two verses about the journey. There's not three verses about the journey. There's not anything about the journey. It just simply says that he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master, and he traveled to distant Abilene. There he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. That's all there is. It wasn't about him. He was out of the picture. He was enjoying just doing what the master said. I'm here to tell you, I vision that at night he put the camels downwind. He found him a place without a lot of rocks. He had his bedding there. He'd lay out his bedding and he'd look up at the stars and the galaxies and he would just be thankful for what he saw that day and the presence of that day. Just enjoying what was put in his life. Christian people, we do not enjoy the journey enough. We're always laboring, always worrying, always full of anxiety, always stirred up about this and that and whatever's going on. Instead of just saying, this is what the Father has called me to, I'm going to enjoy this journey. It's a lot like getting in an airplane for 18 hours. Why gripe about it? You chose to get in there. Get in that little 17 and a half inch seat. With that griping, screaming, kicking kid behind you that kicks your chair all the way. God bless him. He doesn't even speak English. You look back there and you go, dude, I could kill you. I could kill your dad. Quit kicking my chair. What are you going to do about it? You can't fly the plane. Kevin Elder can fly the plane. It's really funny. He said, Kevin, can you fly this one? Yeah, I can fly this one. Good. He'll fly us upside down for a while, but we'll be good. We're set, right? But if something goes wrong, I can't go up to the cockpit and say, Mr. Pilot, I believe that this, you ought to do this. No. I don't even know the man. I've never met the man flying the plane. Can't talk to the man. And I'm trusting him at 38,000 feet for 18 hours in a sardine can. Lord, you're in charge. You know, we can do that, but we don't do that with our life. We want to be in charge. We want to be seen. We want to be noticed. And along the way, we're taking on far more responsibility than is given to us in this just one verse. It's just one verse for his journey. Went to a wedding a couple weeks ago. It's a beautiful wedding, beautiful church, lots of stained glass and all that kind of stuff. It was going on, you know, and everybody had their best duds on and had a row of the bridesmaids here, about 20 of them and about 20 groomsmen, and they're all, you know, some wanted to be there, some didn't, but they're all there and they're going through this deal. And there's a photographer. He's got one camera over here, he's got another camera over here, and this really took place. I have no idea what the minister said during the service, because I was watching this video. At one point, the groom and the bride's down here, and the preacher's standing here, and all the groomsmen are lined up, and all the pretty ladies are all lined up. And at one point, the videographer, or the photographer, that boy is, he's sitting in the middle of them, watching his cameras and doing this, and they're going to do something really important. He runs back behind everybody, and he comes over here, and he sits down, he looks in his camera, and he runs back. And then he's sitting here again, and he was making eye contact with somebody there, and they're making all kinds of faces. And I'm just wanting to go, dude, you need to learn about Abraham's servant. You need to be invisible. You need to get out of the way. These people have waited a long, you know, that boy, I know, he's waited a long time for that little girl. He shouldn't have had to deal with it. I'm sure he didn't know anything about it. He's probably just looking at his beautiful bride there and all that kind of stuff. But that really is what we do a lot. Now, he set up the cameras. I'm sure he never touched them. This day and time, I'm sure that someone, he probably could have sat in the back with an iPad and controlled everything. But he wanted to be seen. And you're not part of the production, young man. This ain't your deal. We didn't come down here to see you take pictures. I bet your dad and mom are proud of you, but that's it. We're not proud of you. We don't like you. We don't know why you're here. I came to see the boy get married. You're not important. Come on. Isn't that what we do? We want to be noticed, want to be seen, want to be valued. No. You're not more important than the mission. The method is not more important than the mission. This servant just enjoyed the journey and did his role. Now, how long did it take? With the camels, you reckon you got 20 miles a day? Maybe? So 20 divided into 1,000 is what? 50? 50 days? 50-day journey, hot, 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 looking for water, smelly camels. And that's all one verse. Now, look in verse 11. He made the camels kneel beside a well just outside the town. It was evening, and the women were coming out to draw water. Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham, he prayed. Please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. Now, in other words, Lord, this is in your hands. This is in your hands. I'm here because my master wants me here. I'm down here in a foreign place, and I'm just going to wait and see what the Lord is going to do. See, I'm standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. Now, Lord, I place this in your hand, but I've gone to the most reasonable place to see young ladies. They're going to be getting their daily supply of water. This is my request. This is my request. I humbly come before you, Almighty God. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink. and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. You see, that's living with it in the Lord's hands. The Lord's going to do this. The Lord's going to cause what needs to happen to happen. I'm not manipulating. I'm not conniving. I'm not trying to figure this thing out. I'm not checking out the one I think's the best fit for Isaac. I'm not looking how pretty she is. I'm not looking how long her hair is. I'm not thinking about whether or not she would be a good fit for Isaac. Lord, I'm just placing this in your hands. You do what you're going to do. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. Verse 15. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca come out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor, and his wife Milcah. Rebecca was very beautiful and old enough to be married. She was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. Now, he's just watching. He's observing. He's just taking it all in. It's in the Lord's hands. It's in the Lord's hands. This is a breakdown point for many of us, isn't it? We pray, we say, Lord, this is in your hands, but when things are going forward, when things are happening, we reach out there, we try to make it work, try to make it happen, try to fix it, try to maneuver here or there. No maneuvering, no fixing, no figuring out, no conniving. No, hey, Rebecca! Nothing like that. He's waiting. What's he waiting on? To see if she's going to water the camels. It's a very simple thing he's waiting on. She was the daughter. Verse 16, Rebecca was very beautiful. We went through that. Verse 17, running over to her, the servant said, please give me a little drink or water from your jug. Yes, my Lord, she answered, have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. Can you imagine that? He travels 1,006 miles with camels, hot, dry land, difficult journey. He finds the watering hole and he simply waits for the young girl that's going to give water for him and is going to water his camels without being asked. I don't know how long he'd have stayed there. Rebecca's the first one to come along. Boy, the Lord sure honors faith, doesn't it? The servant waited to see what the Lord would do. The servant at the watering hole is a great lesson for us. It's a lesson of this life that we have of faith. It's a simple life. This is a very simple process. It's an exciting life. Man, can you imagine the excitement that had to be in the servant's heart to be there going, let's see what the Lord does here. I wonder who it'll be. I wonder if I'll find one here. I wonder if this is where it happens. It's the best life. It's in the Lord's hands. Show up and see what the Lord does. It's in the Lord's hand. Show up and see what He does. Lord, my son's decisions are in your hands. I'm going to wait to see what he does. My daughter's decisions are in your hands. Lord, I dedicate my daughter to you. Lord, I'm going to wait and see what you're going to do. Lord, there's some real complications in this relationship. There's some real complications in our work. There's some real complications in our family right now. Lord, there's some real difficulties that are complicated. Take a step back and just say, Lord, show me what I need to know, what I need to see. Do what you need to do. I am your servant, and you are my master. In your life, are you able to see who the Lord is, Lord's going to send to water your camels? Ushers, come forward.